This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is 8.03 Thursday morning. This part of the program is brought to us by Spot Hero. And we have a movie review coming up at 9:15. I believe I'm allowed to promote this here.
You are. Yes. That's right, everyone. We're going to be reviewing Dunkirk, that's Christopher Nolan's new film, and Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, that is Rihanna's new movie. Rihanna.
And Cara Delevingne. Well,
you had to come on and promote that right before Greg comes on, huh? I mean, the guy's like just about to walk in here.
I just follow Sarah, sort of, but not really. It's an opportunity to promote the highlight of the week. Yeah.
Well, our apologies to Greg Proops then, because, you know, he's got to follow that.
Speaking of Greg, everyone.
I think we peak with Greg.
Oh. You think?
Yeah.
Hold on. Finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users can enter promo code BRIDGE for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
So I started talking to him out in the hall. Actually, I saw him in the bathroom.
Good morning, Greg.
Which
good
is
morning.
One of those, you know, unfortunate realities where you just might catch encounter. There. But I wanted to mention, so I, at the Punchline tonight, you're doing the podcast.
Yes, that's right.
So everyone who goes out will sort of get to be part of that.
Get to see the smartest man in the world.
That's right.
And I mentioned to him, I have gotten stuck on Whose Line Is It Anyway on YouTube because the videos are just so funny and are they on your website or whatever? And he goes, no, people can find those. Plus, we're still doing the show. And I went, what?
Yep, 5 years in on the CW. It's America's best known secret. Aisha Tyler's the host.
Oh.
It's still me, the tall guy, the bald guy, and the black guy. And now we've added a tall black girl.
And is she part of the...
She's the host of the show.
But does she do part
of the... Yeah, she gets up and improvises with us. Oh, she's hilarious.
Fantastic.
Well, she is hilarious, but when did she start?
5 years ago.
She's been the host the whole time?
Yes,
she's
Vinny,
been
it's
on
crazy.
The talk, too.
Yeah.
And she just quit that.
She's busy. And she does, what's the other one, Archer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Aisha gets all over town. I think she made a movie in the meantime as well, and like that. No, we've been on for 5 years on the CW. The Drew one went off like 10 years ago,
right?
So this is and I'm on the road with Whose Line. I'm in a group with Ryan Stiles, Jeff Davis, and Joel Murray, who's Bill Murray's brother, and we're back out on the road in the Midwest in September. We just did like 6 weeks out, and
you guys should negotiate like a promotional budget of some kind because it's like you just said it. It's the quietest.
Yeah, no,
show of all time.
Even in the studio at the CW, we're like, hey, everybody here, we're still on the air. people keep asking me, do you miss the show? And I'm like, no.
How could I miss it at all? I just left the studio.
I'm on the road with them. And we're in August. I'm leaving at the end of July to go to Edinburgh for 2 weeks. And all the English cast, we're doing a month in Edinburgh of the live Whose Line show with Clive Anderson, the original host.
Well, the Whose Line show, and I was watching these older videos, but it's brilliant. It's genius.
You really watch people, including...
Well, it is.
It is.
Of course, you're part of it.
Humility is my strongest quality.
Man, watching that, you go, oh, they were so good.
They are so good. Well, I have to say that sometimes improv, we've all seen that improv troupe that isn't quite pulling it off.
Yeah.
And then, but to see it at its highest form, which often it is when we see, I've seen you do some stuff where I cannot believe what you have pulled out of your ass and have hit us over the head with. Like, it's genius. It's almost comedy in its purest form because it's not rehearsed and it's just flowing out. And you must feel like that, like you get into the zone sometimes.
Well, I mean, when you're at your best, it feels like you're walking backwards and you're not editing yourself. You're just saying what comes into your head, which is usually 95% of the time the right thing to say. And also, we played together a long time, so we can bounce past backwards with our eyes closed to each other. And we go fast. On the TV show, it's furious. On stage, we take a little more time to breathe because we're doing an hour and a half up there.
Right.
But on TV, you know, the games are 2 minutes long or 2.5 minutes this long. And so you, it's joke, joke, joke. You right. know?
There must be stuff that gets cut, too. So you probably do way more than...
Honestly, we shoot for about 2.5 hours. Most of it is ins and outs and ups and downs. We just get up out of the chairs, and so we can edit the show any way we want. Every single game can go with every other single game in the show.
Oh.
So that's how we shoot it. So if you come to see a taping, which you shouldn't do because you're there for 4 hours and there's no bloody water, we play like 25 games, and then we get up and down and, you know, okay, Greg's going to play this one, Wayne's going to play this one, and all we do is stand up and sit down for camera.
Oh.
So that they can cover every single
thing. So here's the outfit that I'm wearing. I'm wearing it the whole show, and we're getting up and getting down.
And they'll make two or three, at least two out of every show.
Oh.
Every taping.
So 4 hours of taping, two shows come on.
When we finished the ABC show, we had a whole other season in the can.
So where is that stuff?
that showed on ABC Family when it was ABC Family before it's Dewdrop or whatever it is now.
So when you do a day of that...
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
ABC Family's got some weird
name. Who can keep track of any of these networks anymore? There's just too many choices.
Right?
Is your brain just smoking after 4 hours of doing that? I mean...
Yeah. It's not so bad.
You're not worn. Like, I can't... I'm going home and I'm going to hide in a dark
room. Oh, I'd go home and have a drink. But, it's not the worst job in the world. I don't have to work in a coal mine or anything.
No.
So you just focus on it for a few hours. It's always good to eat before. That's nice.
Right.
If you can have a meal. That way your blood sugar doesn't dip halfway through the show and you're like, where am I?
I do feel like when people who are, you know, really great at something, and it's a comedian or a sports person or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, that you can hyper-focus on for this, you know, it's this amount of time. You've got to, because in real life, we don't have that kind of attention, that kind of like sort of zoned in attention. And I think it's a total muscle. So you must just like, you go, you work it out. And then you can go home and have some
It absolutely is a muscle. And when you don't do it for a long time, you get rusty. Mm. But I never don't do it for a long time, so...
Well, clearly, we had no idea, but...
I play a couple hundred days a year, so... And that's the thing about when we do the live group with Ryan and everybody, which we're not doing tonight, by the way. I'm doing the podcast, which I did last week in Oklahoma City. And then next week, we're in Pasadena. And then the week after that, we're in Edinburgh. And then after that, we're in London. So...
But tonight... Punchline.
Punchline.
Right.
At 8
so
o'clock.
If people come to see you at the Punchline, they're not going to see a regular stand-up. You're going to be doing your...
That's right, the podcast.
Your podcast.
I sit at a table and I spiel.
Okay.
I sit at a table. I have a glass of vodka. I start spieling. I get up and dance like an idiot. We talk about a lot of things. This week we'll probably talk... I mean, George Romero passed away. We do elaborate obituaries for people who are swirling in the stars. People who are worthy. Mm-hmm. And there's
and
a few
is?
People this week. Absolutely.
Excellent.
So there's that. And then we talk about politics. A lot of politics lately, of course, because we live in a crazy world. So
we do live that, in crazy
and,
world.
And I try to be funny. People bring swag, believe it or not, because I've done the show for about 5 years. And I've talked about, you know, dope and food and feminism and history and literature and all this.
So they want to share with you.
People bring books. People bring vodka. People bring baseball stuff.
Oh, oh.
And so...
Like, I know he likes this and I would like to give him my first edition copy of...
Exactly. Yes, if only. I haven't gotten a first edition yet. I have a garage full of swag and...
I should have a garage sale.
Yeah, right?
Although, there would be it's only a small segment who could truly appreciate the things that you've collected.
I was going to say, it's pretty sentimental to me. A lot of it's so specific because we have loads of running gags on the show. Satchel Paige, the Negro League baseball star, Muntjacks, there's a elusive, ephemeral, emotional support Muntjac, which sometimes appears at the show and supports you in everything you do.
Oh.
You know, Muntjac's a small Vietnamese barking deer.
I don't know anything about this, and it supports you emotionally and the things that... Tell me more.
Well, it happened at a show. We were doing a show in Los Angeles, and I heard... in the back of the room. I'm not kidding. And I don't know what it was. There was no animal in the room. And I was like, oh my God, you guys hear that? It's the elusive, ephemeral, emotional support Muntjac. And then someone gave me a Muntjac that says emotional support on it. Like, you know, the emotional support pigs and dogs that people
have. So you just randomly put that together. Like they don't have these.
That was just a poll you made.
Yes.
You had that sitting on standby for.
No, I didn't write any of this. It's like, I try to make it organic. Kittens McTavish is our mascot. And Kittens McTavish is sort of this pansexual cat that hates the show, that is in the show.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of running gags.
We have one of those.
People give me all sorts of weird things, and
our things just aren't as clever as Greg's.
And I chucked them into the show. So the first part of the show is usually me kind of going through the swag and talking about everything. Lots of poetry. I read poetry on the show, so people give me poems and poetry
that
books.
That can go horribly wrong.
Generally it's people think poetry is more bitter pill than it is. Poetry is fun and helps people deal with the grim reality of our day to day existence. There's nothing like some metaphor to
Have you written
clear in mind?
Have you ever written like a love poem to someone or?
When I was a teenager, I wrote some pretty sad poetry about getting jilted and stuff like that.
Oh.
But I'm never, ever going to read that. And when I die, I hope it's burned before anyone reads it.
You haven't burned it yourself? You have it saved somewhere
in
that garage of yours?
Yeah, it's in the garage. Well, you remember when Kurt Cobain passed and they sold his notebooks from high school? And it was like, don't do that. Yeah. No, that's not for people to read. That was stuff you wrote down. You're like, I hate my life. You know, like, that's personal.
They're reading into every little thing that this 12th grader had to say. You
know? They'll publish everything of people when they're after they pass, which
we're hungry
I disagree
for them.
With.
You know, once someone famous goes, then it's almost like the fervor begins.
I want more. I want more from them. Right. How come we can't have more?
Is this the cat?
No, but that I always
kittens
there's always
McTavish?
Kittens. Always, yeah, that's a psychedelic version of Kittens
McTavish. I'm on gregproops.com. Greg's in studio now and playing tonight at Punchline.
So the rest of the week, are you doing your stand-up routine? And then tonight is
telling
specifically...
Telling my jokes.
Telling your jokes.
Which are a lot of politics, as you might imagine now. And of course, stuff about San Francisco and places I've been. I mean, I just...
And
I
you're
go
from
through...
San Francisco, right?
Huh? Isn't this... I am. I'm from San Carlos, the whitest place on earth, home of the Plain Yogurt Festival.
Oh. Who knew they had a festival
Thank you.
Today? To those in San Carlos.
Where One Direction is found in the hip-hop section. Good night, everybody. Oh, we're
white.
I love
San Carlos.
Huh?
I always hang out in San Carlos.
You hang out in San Carlos?
Well, I live in Redwood Shores.
Ah, there you are. See? Redwood Shores. Mm-hmm. Where Marine World used to be.
Yeah, Marine World.
A thousand
Africa,
years ago.
USA.
Yeah. Before Africa, USA. Yeah. Before it was in Vallejo? Is
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
It was there?
I went there, I went there, and they used to allow you to rent a little wetsuit and snorkel, and you could go diving at,
Really?
I swear to you, I did that.
This is a long time ago.
They used to have water skiing shows that were fantastic.
Out on the bay?
Rides?
Yeah.
There was an elephant you could ride?
Mm-hmm.
This was in the 70s.
Oh.
This is a while ago, in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, I've lived here 20 years, but it's been in Vallejo the whole time.
Yeah,
no. It was a big, exciting thing when I was a little kid because they opened an amusement park like 5 miles from our house, you know? That was when San Carlos wasn't a series of weird industrial buildings along the freeway, when it was just a quiet little white town of nothing, full of nothing, with nothing happening at all except for nothing. There's only one other comedian. There's two famous people from San Carlos, Dana Carvey and Kathryn Bigelow, who directed Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty.
Dana's from there, too?
Dana went to Carmont High School, which is across town.
Oh,
I went to San Carlos High,
I see.
Which is now a bunch of condos.
So there are three famous people. You didn't name yourself.
Humility.
Yeah, okay. And me, most of all, primarily me.
That humble
San Carlos.
Of yours.
Yeah, yeah. But I couldn't wait to leave San Carlos and come to San Francisco. So that was our goal always. All we did was drive up on the weekends and come see concerts and take drugs and stuff.
Just roam the city.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd come and see the Tubes or Blondie or whatever. Go to Winterland when Winterland was there.
Funny.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes, my darling.
Of course, you know, as you know, most of your jokes go over my head completely. And so I hope that...
That's why I come here.
You know, we've been sort of talking about cults this week.
Yes.
And I wondered, you know, A, Greg, what is a cult exactly?
Mm.
And B, if you're willingly there and you're of age...
Oh, this is referencing
it's the R. Kelly.
The R. Kelly.
Oh, golly!
They're
not of age, though. That's the
no,
that's
no.
The
they
thing.
Are though. Here, well, right. I mean, he obviously has a propensity towards the younger set, but he's got these girls living in six or eight different places outside Chicago and outside Atlanta, and they've basically cut off contact with their families.
Yeah.
But they're of age, and when they do wellness checks on these people, they're all alive.
Mm.
So what is that a cult or is that just women who enjoy the company of R. Kelly? Like, what's the...
Well,
he controls what they eat.
It's difficult to know what's going on in R. Kelly's mind. I felt like he should have been incarcerated several years ago. There was an article, and I can't remember the name of the author, forgive me, in one of the papers, a Chicago paper, who was like, why isn't R. Kelly in jail? Kind of like Hannibal Buress said with Bill Cosby.
Right.
Because he's known predilection for underage people, which is not on at all. There's no excusing it. There's no... you know, amending it. There's no going, oh, it's okay. They're, you know, they like it. No, they don't like it. You are under 18. You don't get to choose to have intercourse with people who are over 18. If you're 15 and you're dating someone who's 16, good for you.
Yes. How very age appropriate of you.
If you're 15 and you're dating someone who's 25, boo. That's
And if you're 15 and dating someone who's 35, 45, whatever.
Yuckadoodle. So I'd say they're under his sway. I think, you know, mostly we think of cults as like religious or Jonestown or, you know, the Unification Church or
the Hale Bopp group.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I think it's people who are of a like mind. I think people who join cults, not particularly the R. Kelly one, are looking for some sort of belief system that they can hang their life on and justify why they exist. And that's sort of it. A need for identity. Yeah, and all of a sudden you're in a group and everybody believes the same thing, so you're like, I'm not wrong. And
because we were all.
Well, it's that comfort of knowing that there's all these other people who kind of believe the same thing you do. But the danger in it, of course, is usually it's a man, and usually the man uses the cult as an excuse to take advantage of all the women in the cult, and that's where I get off the train.
Right.
Now, if you come to my show, it's a cult, but it's a beneficent cult.
And people come and go as they please.
Absolutely. No one is withheld. No one's detained. Everyone's there of their own volition.
In fact, they'd probably rather be, you know, you can't even call yours a cult. I'm sorry, Greg, you can't, because those people would love to come to your house and just stay with you and hear your message.
Yeah, they would, and there's no room for them on my sofa, and that's my weed. Put that down.
Yeah. No sharing. Hey, weed's legal.
I know. Is that exciting? Now, when does it happen in California? When do we start to...
This January,
yeah,
right?
January of 2018.
Because you saw what happened in Nevada a couple weeks ago. They ran out of weed after the first week. That
Call
was fantastic.
Us, man. Come
they
on.
Were. They were shipping it in from California, which
and
I love.
Did you see the one store that they kept featuring in the stories from Nevada was this, like, high-end... Almost like
tiki.
Yeah. They were showing it, like, the weed you can get is beyond belief. And the guy actually candle waxes the top and stamps the thing closed.
Oh, goodness. Right. He's
artisanal.
But that's what he's selling, and he's selling out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they can ask anything they want for it. Well, I mean, it's another one of those things that in the United States, we're so full of Puritan misery, right? The country was founded by white supremacists who wanted everyone to not have a good time. And now, of course, 250 years later, it's like, hey, guess what? Every state that legalizes weed is a huge success. And
because
would you
people
rather...
since the dawn of time have wanted to alter their minds.
And people since the dawn of time have altered their minds
right.
in a dazzling variety of ways. It's the government that wants you to not be altered. They would rather you drank alcohol because it's far less constructive.
So much better.
You can smoke weed and still like write and things like that.
Mm.
You can clean your house for hours.
Sure. Oh, whatever your obsession is, it can be accomplished. I mean, I agree that people shouldn't get stoned and drive, and I don't know how they're going to...
It doesn't improve your performance. It alters your performance.
Right. But certainly, I've written some of my most amazing songs while I was stoned.
No
at least
question.
I thought so.
And then you look at them later and like, did I write that?
Yeah, because that's going to need a tweak or two.
I used to do a dope benefit here every year with a comic named Guy O'Belum, and... this is before it was legal.
A dope benefit?
Yeah, it was like the Cannabis Action Networkers. They'd given themselves some catchy name.
Brought to you by High Times.
Right. And the crowd, it would be at the punchline. So before the show, everybody would be out smoking dank, out on the deck. And then everybody come into the show. And the manager would say to me, we haven't sold any alcohol tonight, but we have no more nachos. And it's like, it was so cliche. They'd sell 5,000 waters.
Right.
And all the food in the place gone. Because stoners,
sell, right? You don't want to have any drinks.
Stoners are like, you know, I'll have a beer. They're not like,
yeah. An experienced stoner knows that
it's gonna
the
ruin
two
the
don't
high.
Really mix,
yep.
Right?
No, they don't. I've buried more than one person in that respect. But people come along and they've already had a few drinks, and I'll be getting high, and they'll go, "Here, let me have some." And I'll go like, "It's very strong. You should go slowly." And they'll go, "Hey, don't tell me what to do,"
because they're drunk,
I'll
right? And
you.
I'm like, "I'm not doing this to be a weenie. I'm doing it because I care that you don't spin off into the universe later, and I find you face down in a pile
right.
of your own sick on Battery Street."
It's always a mistake if you've already. You have to choose one. You got to choose one. Tonight I'm going to drink.
Yeah.
But the problem is that when you're drinking, everything seems like a great idea.
Right? Your inhibitions get lowered.
But when you are smoking weed, nothing seems like a good idea. Yeah. Like, no. I'm just going to have some nachos and stay here.
Right.
You know, like you said, you might have a beer or two, but when you're, you know, it's always the final nail in the coffin. Like if you've had a few drinks and then you...
Hey, let's smoke some weed. And now you don't just smoke some weed because as Vinny was saying... Weed is incredibly strong now.
Yeah.
We were in a dispensary.
Different than when we were kids.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We used to have brown weed that had, like, bugs in it. You would find bugs
Oh,
in
you
it.
Had to stem
Rocks.
Them, too, and seed them.
Rocks.
Get the,
right. sticks.
Get the garbage right. out of there.
Yeah, there'd like, be like a praying mantis through? In your bag. And it would come in a big baggie.
Right.
with the fold over top.
Well,
we
that's,
didn't right? have a little Ziploc.
What they were
that
showing
time.
In that news story from this Nevada pot boutique were these glass like tubes
oh.
where
oh,
the
yeah.
that you could see the purple and green crystal hairs in the weed and I was just looking at that thinking, oh, the kid, well, sorry, probably not the kids, but whoever,
is
of age.
It's a lot
of
grown-ups, too. Yeah.
Sure. But, man.
No, we were in a dispensary
good stuff.
Outside mm-hmm. of Seattle, and Jeff and our group is not very stony, and we stopped in, and I was buying some stuff, and he goes to the guy behind the counter, the bud tender, as they're known now.
Wonderful.
He says, do you have anything weak? I don't really want, you know, to get that high. Do you have anything that's kind of lower intensity? And the guy goes, no. Look at this place. It's Disneyland.
Right. Try
this
a cigarette.
This is a magic shop. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
You get a little buzz off
put a piece
cigarette.
Of hash in a cigarette. Right. Have that. Because it's not going to, no. Yeah. They don't really have the lower grades anymore.
It's come a long way, too. I mean, you know, I feel like it's happening 20 years too late for me. Because I don't even really ever smoke anymore. But when I was a kid, I would have been all about it. They've got those vaporizers now.
Well, the edibles seem like a really good idea, I think.
I'm not a big edible girl because I just, they're too much for me. I think when you smoke it,
moderate.
Moderate how much you have. You can take a hit.
Right.
And then stop.
Right.
And then
see
take
how
another,
that affects
right,
you.
And then
add
take it more
as you go. Sure.
Right. 15 minutes later, you can take another hit.
Yeah.
But if you eat half of a cookie, like it's an imprecise science. How much of the weed is in which half of the cookie? This mm-hmm. is a conundrum. Now all of a sudden we're into philosophy here. And so you eat half the cookie and you're like, holy cow.
And it's 12 hours later and you're just quivering.
Beatrice Arthur's chasing me
somewhere.
Down the hall with a Butterfingers. You know, you don't know what's happening.
I don't
anymore.
Like the edibles.
Well, it sounds like you have a healthy relationship with the drug. There are people, I don't want to name anyone, who would say, give me the whole damn cookie. I'm not worried about it.
I'll take a sleeve of those. Put it in a Thin Mint.
Right.
I'm in.
Right? The times I have done it, I remember taking a walk with my wife once and I became hysterical over nothing. And I was just in complete hysterics. And she goes, what is the matter with you? And I went, I swear to God, I only ate this much. Like a 70s movie. I only ate this much of a candy bar. And that's all I had eaten. But it was like, I guess it was all in that end.
Yeah.
So that's the problem I have with it. The dosage is a little erratic.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll get that down to a science, too.
Well, it is. Right. They have those little mild ones now that come in. Oh, believe me, if you go in, they've got
every they'll talk you through. You tell them what you want. Oh, I get paranoid or I have anxiety. Oh,
right?
Well, here's what you need.
I want a body rush. But then later it turns into a head thing. And they go, oh, well, what you need is.
Oh,
and
I'm not
that big. The bud tender does that.
Right.
Right.
I'm not that big a connoisseur. People go, what kind do you like? And I'm like, the kind that gets you high.
Right.
It's like vodka. People say, what's your favorite vodka? And I'm like, do it come in a bottle.
That's my favorite. All right, Greg Proops, tonight the podcast. You're recording that at the Punchline, and then you're doing shows through Saturday.
That's right.
It's always
and
so great to see you here.
Let me add that at gregproops.com, you have an excellent website.
Thank
and
you.
Tickets can be purchased at your website.
Oh,
yeah,
website.
Sure. You can go to gregproops.com, and there's links to all the shows and pictures and videos and all kinds of nonsense.
Well,
cool.
It's always great to see you, Greg.
You guys are beautiful. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, thank you. Greg Proops, everyone. The Punchline starting tonight.
Yay. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's 8:36, and it's Thursday. Thanks again to Greg Proops. He's at the Punchline tonight doing his podcast, Smartest Man in the World. And then for the rest of the week through Saturday, he is going to be performing his stand-up. And it's always awesome to see Greg. He's so smart and fun. And he just puts up with us, the cretins. This part of the program is brought to you by your Bay Area Mazda dealers.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned Greg Proops, Sarah, because if you go to the Alice973 Instagram, there is an incredible picture of the three of you, Sarah, Vinny, and Greg, and it just looks like an incredible conversation. I don't know how you do it. I'm glad
know.
I captured the moment.
Thanks,
everyone, check it out, Alice973, and support our dear friend Greg Proops at the Punchline SF.
Oh, this is a grand picture.
It is grand,
this is
isn't
just-
it?
That is wonderful. This is actually pretty hilarious considering what actually happened in this room.
Let's not overdo it and let's not give away our secrets.
Nice work, Hooman.
Nice. Our secrets, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I hope this doesn't derail the incredible news we're about to hear.
No.
Okay,
the fact that you keep saying you're going to peak at 9:15 is what derails the incredible news. It really discounts everything else we're trying to do around here. But go ahead and promote that real quick.
All right, everyone, at 9:50, there's going to be a humongous movie review.
The 2017 Mazda 3 named a Car and Driver 10 Best 4 years in a row. A better driving experience is now within reach. Visit your Bay Area Mazda dealers today.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Incredible characters, memorable moments. Share the love this summer at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.org. That was such a weird moment to relive with Greg when we talked about Marine World being in Redwood City.
Yes. It
was so you must have come up for
awesome.
That?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was a little kid, and I remember they would rent you a wetsuit and a mask, and you would actually get in the water. And to me, that was, I'm getting wet. But for most people, you don't want to. It's the middle of the day, and we're at an amusement park.
Mm. And this is someone else's disgusting wetsuit.
Yeah, I didn't think about stuff like that then. I was like, I'm in. Let's go.
Fully formed germaphobe at that
point. But they put you in the water with some pretty spectacular fish.
Sure. They had all the animals there and water slides. And I just love the water skiing shows. Tricks and all kinds of stuff going on. It's
I don't remember
so
that
fun.
Part, but I'm sure it was there.
When they tore it down, is that where they built like your
Oracle.
Condo?
Yeah.
It's where Oracle is.
Oh. Oracle and all that. Sure, all that area there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Lay's has asked people to pick out the next flavors.
Oh.
They do a contest. They get people to participate. And they also find out from people what they want to eat.
Right.
It's actually pretty smart.
It's great. Market research, baby.
I often just like that yellow bag of Lay's.
Me too. That and the black bag, the barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the barbecue. I like that. But I'm with you. I'll take the plain Lay's if pushed. I like those on a sandwich. Oh, my God. Every time I go into Michael's Sourdough, I'm like layering those on.
Michael's Sourdough. Wouldn't that be so good right now?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's always good.
They had this contest, Do Us a Flavor, where people got to, pick their favorites. And here's what they've chosen.
Okay.
This year's finalists are Crispy Taco, Fried Green Tomatoes, and Everything Bagel. Everything Bagel. You know the Everything Bagel?
I do. I'm not a fan of the Everything Bagel.
I never tried it because I wouldn't want to.
Well, they're fine. It's, it's basically, it's onion, it's poppy seed. It's everything.
Sesame seeds, blueberries.
I'd rather just have the sesame or nothing.
I go blueberry bagel. I really like them.
I would rather just have it plain savory.
Okay. Well, anyway, all three of them are going to be in stores by the end of the month.
And then we
vote which ones are best. And
do we vote just by what we purchase, or do we vote we actually go to Lay's?
I don't know. I don't have that here. But the winners in the past have been cheesy garlic bread, wasabi ginger, and southern biscuits and gravy.
Oh, wasabi ginger sounds delicious.
Does it?
Yeah. All God, right. You add wasabi and ginger to pretty much anything, and it's edible.
Sarah, you have a successful young man headed to college this year. What are you knocking on wood
for? Knocking on, he's not successful yet. He's made it through high
school. He's graduated high school and was accepted at Berkeley.
Yeah. Exciting.
That's successful.
It's great. Okay.
True. He's still got to pull grades and, walk in 4 years. But anyway, the question is, how did you handle his grades as he was growing up? Did you high five him when he pulled grades? Did you give him cash? Did you offer to take him on a trip of his choice, which just seems to be one of the big things? He does pick most of the vacations, right?
We did a variety of things. He was a pretty good student through most of his career, but there were a few years there that early in his high school career that he did not do well. And so his reward for his grades was, give me that phone. And, you can have it back in 3 months when you get your midterm report or whatever.
So then he would just borrow
his brother's phone or
absolutely
figure out his
pulled
ways
his you ripped
I just,
his phone
you know,
from him.
And the thing was, he could tell how mad I was. He got an F in something, and I was horrified. Like, no, that's not going to happen. But I was so angry that I actually kind of shut down into myself And when he got home and I'm sitting there with the thing and him and his dad was kind of like, ooh. And I, because I, you know.
You did it this time,
I have exploded before. And right. I just said, I can't even talk to you right now. Give me your phone. You know what this is. Here's the report card. Like, I just.
What'd he say?
What could he say?
Well, did he cry?
No.
Did you threaten him? Did you say something like, don't fall asleep?
Because I'll be in there watching you. No, I didn't. I was like shaking with anger. I was so mad. Like, that's not cool. Because I've said this to you guys before. I give that kid a long leash because he never gives me a reason to yank him back.
Right.
And when that happened, I yanked him back. I must have told you guys the story, how I took his phone away.
It sounds familiar.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But that was it. That's the last time he was ever not on the honor roll.
That's
like
enough.
I put the fear of Jesus into him.
All right.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
All right.
But as far as rewarding good grades, no. I didn't do that.
No.
I'd be like, oh, great. Say, what a great job. That's super.
You know what you just reminded me of? The kid that used to work here with us, Icky.
Yeah.
He used to tell when we did a show in Oregon before I came back, and we would talk, and he would tell me about how his mom scared him so much that he was always good.
Oh. And like she was volatile?
His fear of getting her angry. And I used to ask him, like, oh, so she would just beat the living. And he'd go, no. And I've still never got it out of him. I never understood. I don't understand what you're afraid of if there's not some... And he'd be like, oh, you don't want to make my mom mad. Okay,
well, you
why?
Have to live with that person. I mean, there's no question that I didn't want to make my mom or dad
right.
mad either. I mean, that was like called a healthy fear of authority, I guess.
Oh,
they didn't realize it was the threat that something might happen.
Absolutely.
You know?
My dad just couldn't. Was scary. He was scary, man. Ooh, you didn't want to make him mad.
Well, yeah, my dad either.
Yeah, but for
but
some
my
reason,
dad beat
something
the
broken
living
in you.
You know what out of me?
But you knew
all the
you're
time.
You're gonna get it anyway, I guess. So you're like, I might as well have some fun.
But that's, I just would talk to him and I'd not get it. I'm like, I don't know. So what did she do to you? Dude, you don't even know.
Some
I'm like,
people
no,
just
I don't know.
Have them under the mental thumb, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's
you don't
it.
Want that person mad at you because your life becomes miserable.
I will tell you right now, out of all the parents on the show, hands down, Yuzette's dad scares me the most.
Yuzette's dad and Vinny's dad. Although, they're both... wonderful people, I'm sure.
Well,
they were.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk ill of the actually, they're both dead.
They're both dead,
so
yeah.
I don't want to talk ill of the dead. But
Tony
no, he, my dad was out of hand, no doubt.
Oh. But do
way
you feel
out of
like
hand.
You drove him to that?
No, there's no acceptable reason to do the things he did.
Oh.
Period. Absolutely
was
not.
Was he contrite about them later in life? Did he
no,
really?
No, oh. He really felt like, oh, well, he stopped. He didn't do it to our youngest brother. So me and Jan... got the, and then he stopped.
But your youngest brother was kind of an angel, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know if necessarily his
like
better
been.
Treatment of his son brought about a better behaved son. I'm not sure. I don't know how
he
that.
He was so busy dealing with you two as budding teenagers.
But he did change for sure, so I'll give him that credit. But there's no, that would not wash today.
Right.
No way. Because he'd do it in the neighborhood.
Well, people did. I mean, neighbors would, you know.
Look away.
Oh, I was going to say, we had neighbors who would yank us home to our parents.
That crap's happening in the street again. We're just going to go in.
My dad one time beat the out of my brothers, both of them, as my best friend's father watched.
Oh.
What's your brothers
do? What have they done?
Gary.
Yeah, what'd they do?
They did something really bad.
Like what?
One of the brothers was working at a pharmacy. My dad got him a job at a pharmacy, and he was stealing drugs. And he was selling the drugs, and he had given them to my best friend and her cousin. And the girls took the drugs. I think they were Quaaludes. And the girls ended up having to go to the hospital and get their stomachs pumped.
Oh, Jesus.
And the dad, who was scary. Oh, my God. He was so scary. I forgot his name. Mr. Cavallis. And so he came pounding at our front door, and my dad had gone away for the weekend. And I was like, you know, he left us at home. And I was like, you know, my dad's away. I'll be back. And boy, he came back. Oh, my God.
Did you watch too?
No, I was in my room crying. Ugh. I think I was on the phone with someone. Oh, with my
so
friend.
So your dad
crying.
Delivered the punishment while the father of the girl who had gone to the hospital watched.
He was throwing them up against the wall, punching them, throwing them up against the
wall. Oh, my God.
And
this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's not something that's acceptable today. Yeah. You wouldn't get away with that. You would end up losing your kids with the stuff that went down in the 70s.
As they fell on the ground, he stuck like his foot to their necks.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about too. That crap.
Yeah, I thought I had it bad with the hairbrush.
What's a hairbrush?
My mom would hit me with a hairbrush.
Yeah, my dad would hit me on the head.
I got chased around with shoes.
Yeah. Oh, I got that too.
Anyway, whole back house. To grades.
Yeah, grades.
Most parents just say they praise their kids when they pull good grades, and that's that.
Give them some praise.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. If they were angling for something in particular, I would say, well, we'll see how the next report card is, and then maybe that'll be...
Over a third, though, say, they get a special gift.
That's nice.
What? Is it?
Sure. Well, I mean, whatever motivates your kids. If that's what motivates them, if cash or some, you know, a trip or something that they've been saving their allowance for or whatever is the thing, then... And that helps them pull grades, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
Cash is on the list. A special trip is on the list. Some parents deposit money into the kid's college fund, but I don't see how that's going to inspire a kid to...
Oh, great, more school.
Right. Yeah. Well, also, I mean, if you're going to end up paying for it anyway, the kid's like, that's not... What's that?
$100 less dollars you have to borrow from the bank, son.
I should do a couple texts before we... Peek for the week. It's right around the corner. Our text number is 800-400-3697. There's a marijuana billboard on 92, says 510.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently.
What does it just say? Marijuana?
They're all over the place, actually.
Weed. Really?
Yeah, I've been seeing them on buses and stuff.
Like, what is like, it? Is it, like, pro?
There's, like, dispensary ads.
Oh, like ads.
Yeah, and it has just, like, pictures of cannabis.
Oh, I think it's like a roller coaster and someone's going over the top going, weed. That'd be a good one.
I remember.
Hooray, it's here.
Oh, R. Kelly's kidnapping these women, says 917.
Well.
Hi, Greg. I'm from San Carlos High School, class of 1980. Go Dons.
Dons.
It's not really kidnapping them. Like, a lot of times the parents were involved right up until the time he invited them to come live with him and then took their phones from them.
Marine World was right where Oracle is. Okay, this person just lost me. Ask Greg to say hi to Kittens McTavish for me.
Oh, that was his.
We didn't get
to
you.
We have Garage Cat. He's got Kittens McTavish.
Yeah. Vinny, 916 says, send that Greg Proop segment to Scott Caparo so you can hear what a good appearance sounds like.
Oh, you guys are dicks. That's mean.
Is it?
Yeah, it is mean.
Well, he hasn't had a good showing in a while.
That's because he's married now and his life is boring. Game over.
Yeah, where's my hat?
That's the thing about Scott. He used to come here and shock us.
Yeah.
Now he's like, shocking. Marriage
he used to
sucks.
Come in and crush.
And now?
He just shows up.
Just
and
shows
is like,
up and is like, what's going on, guys?
What? I've earned my right to sit here? What's up? Yeah. Like, okay. Thanks for coming by. Have a good one. The Whose Line Is It Anyway tour was here in SF last summer. It was seriously the funniest comedy show I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Please tell Greg to come back.
It's actually horrifying that it's been on the CW for 5 years. We're like, nah, we don't know anything about that.
No, and you know what? As I said that to him, it's clear he's aware. Mm. They have a promotion problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be pulling numbers to stay on. So.
Well, CW numbers.
They're traditionally lower than other numbers. Although these days, Jesus, there's so many places that people, if you even get 1 million people watching, they're like, oh my God, this is great.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is I actually love that show. Those guys are great at what they do, and yet I didn't even know it was on. Mm-hmm. I'd watch that.
Set your DVR. Because you know you're not going to channel surf.
Well, right now I'm actually really hooked on Big Brother, so I was up last night late.
It was good last night, huh?
It's good every night.
Yeah,
I love that show. You like it?
I love it. Who you think's going home tonight?
Hey, you get your minutes in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Calm the hell down. Oh, boy.
I have a feeling that it's going to be Jessica because of there.
You think she's going to save herself?
I do. I think she's going to.
How?
She's going to rally some people, and she has some allies. And I think that if some people in there were smart, they'd see that now that she's totally on the outs, like that's the person you band together with. Forget this Jessica girl. She's tainted.
She is, but she's got no chance of ever rallying
right, but,
her
but
way
that
back.
Also means that she's got no loyalty and no reason to throw you her loyalty. Like, she feels totally burned. She's not a safe ally for the future. I think Dominique would be someone that I'd go, I'm going to see if I can find a way to, because I think that she would give you her loyalty. She's
well,
a
she's
pretty
clearly
passionate person and
feeling burned right now, mm-hmm. looking for
and I think
an
could,
island.
I think you could spin that and use her, but that's just me. I hope she stays, actually, because Jessica's a non-entity at this point. Nice to look at, though. Yeah. I mean, if you like legs and... I mean, those pants she had on last night, well, you can't even call them pants. They're just, like, really underpants.
I didn't even notice.
When she got up to play the Power of Veto thing, she had the socks on that went up to her mid-thigh. She's a little hottie. This is the mm-hmm. VIP concierge.
Okay.
Or what, I don't know.
Whatever
Joker,
that
what
is.
That?
Yeah. I don't know.
So she's wearing hot pants.
High rollers.
And there her ass cheeks are hanging out and they're fantastic looking. Like she's big.
Like booty
boobs.
Shorts?
Yeah, like butt booty short shorts. Like shorter even than booty shorts.
As cute as she is though, if you were
oh, she's so
right
annoying.
Up into her about to kiss her, don't you think you'd want to just pluck those eyelashes right off her face? Let me just...
You got a couple caterpillars on your face. Let me go ahead and get
Let
those off for you.
Let me just get these off you.
And when she had them
disturbing.
Off...
Disturbing.
There was one day there, I think after that one competition where they sort of rinsed off in the water spray that was happening. There's one, at one point, one's hanging down her
oh,
face.
Oh, no.
She looked better.
Yes, that's my point.
When they get in the diary room and they have no makeup on before they put on their full like pancake makeup and everything, I'm like, oh, look how cute they are. Mm.
Anyway, we'll do a few more texts on the other side of this break. Hey.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.